today on Mother Mayhem.
As you try to live bigger, to take up space, and to give yourself permission to be seen, before we get there, though, I just want to take a second to invite your trauma brain to sit with us at the table. She did one hell of a good job, my friend. Your trauma brain saved your life. Hi, everyone. It's Heather. Welcome back to Mother Mayhem, the Narcissistic Abuse Recovery Podcast for Daughters. I have been looking forward to this episode for weeks and weeks. Now, when I first conceived of this show, I have to admit to you all that I had this daydream that daughters weren't just going to write in and share their stories, but that they would also do so in a voice memo so that every daughter could be heard in their own voice and in their own words. And I tried for a while to get that idea to go somewhere, but admittedly, it was a big ask of all of you. I knew at the outset that it was pretty vulnerable and personal, and it could feel really exposing. So I ended up backing away from the idea when so many of the women, after getting that kind of invite, just turned me down on it. But recently, I got this really incredible letter from a listener. I am going to name her Christy, after an author that I have really come to love, Christy Tate. Christy, the author, has written two really incredible and vulnerable memoirs. One is called Group, and that one is on the power and healing that group therapy can offer people. And then the other one is a sucker punch right to the gut. It's called BFF, a memoir of friendship lost and found. And in both of these books, Christy just put herself out there in the most vulnerable of ways and really moved me so deeply. Lots of tears reading both of her books. And now when I got Christy's letter, Christy, our listener, her letter, I just have to say I was just as moved, inspired, and touched. She included this art exhibit to accompany her letter with pictures and song lyrics, and you know me and songs, so she had me at song lyrics. But I knew that Christy's letter would be such a gift to all of you, and I asked her if she might consider recording it herself and reading it for all of you to share her story and her own words, and then also to the accompanying artwork that she has for it. We're going to link that up in the show notes for all of you. Make sure you head there to see the whole thing in all of its specialness. But I'm so proud of her and I'm so grateful to her that she said yes. I think this is really going to be an incredible episode for all of you to really listen in on. First, you're going to get to hear Christy share her story, and you'll be able to see the accompanying artwork in the show notes. And then Christy ends her story with a question. So I'm going to share my thoughts on her question on the other side of all of that. So with all of that, I get to introduce you to Christy now.
Hi, Heather. I discovered your podcast in the midst of my healing, and what a gift. Your words have been instrumental in my moving through this messiness, pain, and confusion. Thank you so much for putting yourself out there for us daughters. I wanted to write to you to share my story and, of course, with a question. I have learned so much from hearing other daughters' stories, every single one. I've become inspired to share my story with you as well. I grew up the oldest of three children to happily married parents. My mother suffered significantly from her own relationship with her mother. She's the only girl with two older brothers and two younger brothers, and felt the burden of being the only daughter with a mother who was highly critical in her life. My grandmother was critical. She kept score on everyone and played people against each other. When I was 8 years old, she stopped speaking to my two oldest uncles and their families, and it broke all of our families apart, never to be the same again. I was very close with my cousins, and suddenly, that all changed. It was the first time I experienced abandonment in my life. I had no answer as to why. There was just an air of confusion, messiness, and a chaos of emotion. My grandmother never spoke to them for the rest of her life, yet she carried the anger and resentment with her until she died. My mother always felt conflicted between her relationships with her brothers and mother. With all of this, my mother's pain and anguish were always front and center growing up. Every single day, someone was disrupting her. My grandmother, a random person at the store, someone on the phone. It could have just been a look or someone honking their horn, and it would just set her off. It was constant, and it's still constant to this day. She gripes, complains, and yells about each situation and is always the victim, always being attacked. My childhood was walking on eggshells every day. My mother's mood of the moment would determine how the rest of the house could feel and be. I tried my best to avoid that line of fire, but simply just by existing and being myself, it periodically turned on me, and I became the person that was the cause of her blame. Life was about how she would be seen and what people would think of her. My feelings were never encouraged. If I had any emotion like anger or disappointment, she would immediately take that as a reflection on her. Hence, my feelings never being tolerated and became weaponized against me in the form of rage, but mostly the silent treatment. Deep breath. The silent treatment left me in a state of limbo. The pattern was I would be shut out, she would talk to the whole world about me, but never talk to me to resolve anything. She repeats her story over and over to anyone who will listen, repeating her story to convince herself that she is innocent and is a victim in it all. If I approach her in this state, it only gets worse, and the silent treatment is longer and deeper. And those words about me to the world get louder. What a horrible, dark place to be. My father then stepped in when she felt ready as the bridge to bring us back together. Never as a safe space to share points of view or feelings or balance of communication, I was forced to apologize. Apologize to her for disrupting her, for feeling something that she took as a threat. Then my teenage years. My parents could not honor the idea that I would want independence and find myself as an individual. They saw any sort of individuation as an act of rebellion and disrespect. They became impossibly strict on me. I had no independence and no friendships. I just needed to exist as quietly as possible and stay small. More fighting, more silent treatments, more punishments, more forced apologies. I would sneak out and lie just to have some sort of feeling of a social life. And I turned to alcohol and drugs to numb it out as much as I could. All that anxiety. Then I left for college, and I finally had freedom. It felt amazing. I was my own person, out in the world, and I had no one to tell me no. There were many parties and drugs, and I quickly lost interest in any classes. I just wanted to experience friendship, freedom, and independence. It felt like the high of my life, and I couldn't have been more lost. I found myself in a toxic relationship with a guy at 19 years old. The partying continued, days became hazier, and classes became non-existent. My boyfriend beat me, threatened to kill me, was suicidal, and dragged me into his hell. It all ended with him on a night when he smashed every window of his apartment, cutting himself all over his body, and the police arriving. He left that night to go back to his family home, and I never saw him again, thank God. I officially failed out of college, and I was more lost than ever. And of course, it was all about my mother. It couldn't have been more inconvenient for her and her image. Soon after, I moved into my own place and for the next few years, worked and dabbled in school and classes, but that never stuck around long enough for me to graduate. One of my biggest regrets in life. Meanwhile, daily drinking, drugs continued with all that anxiety. At 23, I started dating a guy. He had all the right moves, charm, culture, along with the right dose of travel and adventure that I never had. It was all very exciting. Not too long later, I found myself pregnant. Pregnant at 23 years old. I was working at Starbucks and I was pregnant. I felt very strongly about having the baby. Everything with him felt so right. We had a shotgun wedding and my son was born a few months later. We were young parents trying to figure it out, and we were head over heels for our baby boy. We saved our money to buy our first home, and soon after, I was pregnant with our second son. And then one day, as if it were all in black and white and there was a defining line, something in him changed. I had no explanation. I was pregnant, and we just moved into our first house. He suddenly wanted freedom and acted like he was having a midlife crisis. He was cheating. He was cheating while we had a 2-year-old and I was pregnant with our second child. He lied. He lied for months, denying anything, which made it so much more painful. My world came crashing down and I found myself alone, divorced, with 2 babies and no support. I tried to do it on my own for a while, but I eventually moved back home. I moved back home at 28 years old with a 3-year-old and an 18-month-old. And again, my mother's feelings were front and center before anything else, and I needed to stay as small as possible to avoid her wrath. The boys and I moved out after 6 years, and I have since married my now husband, who has been my biggest support. As the years went on and the boys grew, I always felt some sort of hold with her and my father. I always felt like I needed to stay connected. Silent treatments would come and go, and each time, myself and the family all default into freeze mode and let my mother's anger, fear, and blame run loose. Holidays especially were hell. My role as a scapegoat were always brought to the surface. I would think so often about never speaking to them again, but just the thought of my voice saying those words would leave me trembling. I just couldn't. I had no power. I had no way to communicate how this was for me. I didn't know how. Conflict does not feel right in my body, and I didn't know any other way. Anxiety, panic attacks, and full-on trembling that's debilitating would take over. I was always in it alone, with no one to back me up, and it was just too much. My mother came to my house one random day in August of 2022. She wasn't there for long, and something caused her to leave in a huff quickly. She was clearly upset about something. So I, of course, overanalyzed everything, thinking I did or said something to cause her distress. It was at that moment that something in me changed. I was no longer going to be hypervigilant about her feelings. I've tried to make her happy my whole life, and it's never worked. I didn't call her to see if she was okay. It was an effort, but I did it. I will not chase her or her happiness anymore. So I didn't call her. I didn't chase her down. It was that day that I called for a therapist, and I've been on a path of healing ever since. I felt strongly about not going no contact, and how do I navigate in low contact? My therapist and I began our work through talk therapy and EMDR. Months went by, and my parents' 50th wedding anniversary was approaching. My mother made it clear to me and my siblings that she wanted a surprise party. It was a challenging situation to be in, separating myself from my parents in low contact while planning this big event for them. A lot of time, effort, and money went into that day. The party turned out to be a success. Lots of credit to my therapist for walking me through all kinds of emotions. The evening of the party, my parents visited my house to see my aunts who traveled in from out of state. My mother couldn't look me in the eye, no thank you or appreciation, and continued her agitated state towards me. In all of their catching up, she dominated the conversation that evening by complaining about her neighbors and her condo. She just had the biggest, most beautiful party of her life, and she chose to focus on complaining about people all night long. Another eye-opening moment. I've learned that going low contact was a threat to her. She had a choice to stay connected or to take my boundaries as a threat and watch the relationship move further away. I've seen my parents a few other times since the party, and still, my mother was prickly and distant, still never choosing to communicate anything with me. I held my ground not to be hypervigilant to her feelings. I was keeping low contact and working with my therapist on support techniques. In August of 2023, my younger son graduated from college, where I was met with the silent treatment. Not a hello or a goodbye, nothing. I said hello and I started to make small talk, but my mother stopped in her tracks, turned around, and walked away from me. It was a palpable silence for my husband and my boys all noticed, ruining what should have been a happy day. And it's been silent ever since. That fall, I reached out to my father to say that I won't spend the holidays with them for the first time in my life. The last place I wanted to be was at their house, pretending that everything was normal. Over the next few months, things just got worse each time my father and I talked. He said that my feelings weren't justified and that I needed to work on my childhood issues, and acted dumbfounded as to where this was all coming from. Until that point, each time my father came to me as that bridge, he would agree with me. Every single time for years, my whole life. He said, "Yes, your mother's crazy." He would see her distress, her unhappiness, anger, everything. He didn't protect me from it, but he always acknowledged it when we spoke one-on-one. This time was different. He acted like he had never had that conversation with me ever. He's perplexed as to why I feel this way and what I see, yet he lives with it every day. I told him that I want to talk with her, but I need her to meet me with an understanding, an open heart, and a willingness to communicate. I believe that hard conversations can allow us to grow and we can come out stronger on the other end. He said that she cannot do that. She feels that she will be criticized. So it remained silent. This holiday season was the first time I didn't see my parents. I experienced a mix of anxiety, depression, and disconnection. Yet at the same time, I also felt a newfound sense of freedom. During the separation, it surprisingly felt great not to feel the stress that I feel every year during the holidays, going into that scapegoat role that I default to when the whole family is together. I was free. As the holidays passed, I unexpectedly felt a huge wave of relief. I did it. One of the things I held on to for so long was the thought of the holiday becoming fractured. A huge weight has been lifted from my shoulders. I made it to the other side, and it felt amazing. Just a few weeks before the holidays, my husband was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. We've been trying to come to terms with what this means and how our future has shifted. Although both my parents are aware of his diagnosis, neither one has reached out to him since. It seems that he's been cut off as well, so as a result, I'm now angry. After the holidays, my father texted and asked if I was willing to write down my thoughts so my mother could process everything before we could potentially talk. This felt like too much. It felt like a homework assignment. He again emphasized that she didn't want to be criticized. My grief for my husband in that moment was enormous, and I just said I couldn't. I can't focus right now. I can't get into an emotional tornado of anxiety that I feel when it comes to hashing it out with her. I had been wanting to talk. I was waiting for that bridge moment where we could talk and reconnect and move on. But so much time went by and it just never happened. Now my focus has shifted. My husband is my priority right now. People who show me love and support are my priority right now. Not abandoning myself is my priority right now. Gaining perspective on my situation has been incredibly valuable. I've lived in it my whole life without fully understanding what it was. Shifting my relationship to low contact to get a clearer view of the relationship was a big change in my ability to process so much. Over time, I've been able to see more of what's happening in the present, how it unfolds through her behavior, and how it connects to my past experiences with her. I needed to see all of that, and I wouldn't have been able to heal without seeing it. I've learned that she has an unhealthy relationship with herself and only knows how to have relationships in an unhealthy and dysfunctional way. She is incapable of giving me what I need, even though I see those needs as fundamental. I don't know what will unfold from all this, but this is where I am today. Therapy, making art, listening to music, practicing meditation have all helped me sort through and prioritize my feelings. Conversations with my husband and girlfriends have helped me navigate my doubt and confusion. Hearing other people's stories through your podcast has been an unexpected gift. I've been able to make connections of what that daughter is going through, and your advice around that story has given me so much clarity. I am so grateful, Heather. Thank you. I've created a small art series that has been instrumental in my healing journey. It features Polaroid transfers of myself as a child, paired with music lyrics as the titles. The experience of seeing myself at such a young age and contemplating the idea that that child is being subject to the silent treatment was very powerful and eye-opening. I wanted to share them for you to see. I have the images attached. So my question at the moment, how can I break free from the habit of staying small and provide myself with what I need to grow and thrive? I've defaulted to staying small as a survival mechanism, but I really want to move beyond that and totally flourish. Simple yet loaded all at once. Thank you for everything, Heather. I look forward to hearing more of your brilliant Heatherisms on your podcast and in your Mother Mayhem meetings. With gratitude.
Christy, first of all, let me just say one more time, thank you so much for doing this. I am so moved by your story, your journey, your truth-telling, your self-acceptance of the path you've been on and how you got here. And I hope it helps you to know that you are going to be helping other women find their voice too. Your question for me is about breaking the habit of playing small. And that's what you just did, my friend. You decided not to play small. You reached out to me with your story. You shared your art and the story behind it all on your own. And then you perceived the opportunity that I offered you and you took it. And when an additional opportunity was offered to you to perhaps take up more space, when I asked you to record yourself saying the letter, you replied to me with the most enthusiastic yes. My first yes on that particular question, by the way. You gave energy to who you wanted to be in that moment and you became her. And that is how we break habits, by getting clear on the habit we want to break, acknowledging why it isn't working for us, and making the decision to do so. You also said yes to the opportunity to break the habit when you were presented with it. That was another positive step you took here. And here's how I think about habit building or cycle breaking. We participate in cycles and habits most often on automatic pilot. We don't even realize we're doing it. Think about the last time you were in line at a store or a restaurant. As soon as people are waiting these days, they're grabbing their phones to scan and scroll. They're not even thinking about it. But man, oh man, can I just tell you and observe for all of you, if you haven't been paying attention to this, people are unable to wait and sit with themselves these days for any length of time. It is not my story at this point that grabbing their phone is even a conscious interaction for them. It's just what they do as soon as the action around them stops. So if someone's looking to break a habit like that, they have to first notice that habit about themselves. Then they have to get clear on why it isn't working for them and why they want to change it. Then they have to acknowledge with themselves, each time there is a pause in life, I grab for my phone, but I don't like that about myself. I don't want to be grabbing for distraction endlessly. I don't always want to be avoiding stillness. I want to be present. I choose to be present, even when it's uncomfortable. They have to be aware of this all the time, so that they can perceive those breaks in the action and make that conscious decision about what they want to be doing instead. This way, when there is a pause, they're prepared to perceive it and then replace that period of time with a new action. If they're not scanning for these opportunities to break that habit and do something different, they're likely not even going to notice it until they find themselves with their phones in their hands scanning, and then they have to start all over with that habit breaking. And sometimes that's how it's going to have to happen. They'll grab their phones on automatic pilot, they'll catch themselves and have to force themselves to change course in that moment. That's going to be the task before you as you try to live bigger, to take up space and to give yourself permission to be seen. Before we get there, though, I just want to take a second to invite your trauma brain to sit with us at the table. She did one hell of a good job, my friend. Your trauma brain saved your life. She got you healthy, she protected you from more trauma, and she guided you to this place in your healing by allowing you to see the truth of your life as you were ready to see it, one thing at a time. She has been with you on this path. She's looked out for you, and we are so very, very thankful for her. So thank you, Christy's trauma brain, for guiding her and protecting her as she has worked through a childhood she didn't deserve. You did really, really good. You knew before she did that putting herself out there would only make her a lightning rod for her mother, so you taught her how to stay quiet and small. You taught her how to read her mother and protect herself from more abuse. You taught her how to first learn how to take up space with herself by expressing herself through her art, and that was so smart that you did that. You taught her about loving herself and how to be loved. You helped her learn loving limits and how to protect her peace, and you did all of this at a pace that she was able to handle. You did so good, Christy's trauma brain. So good. Right now, though, Christy doesn't need you as much. It's okay to rest. Her mom's out of the picture for the time being, and Christy's trying to get to know herself, but she isn't in an abusive environment, and there isn't a real threat of danger here. She's just dealing with some of the normal nerves that come up when she's trying something new or doing something for the first time. You see, Christy wants to go a bit bigger with her life now. She wants to be able to offer her opinions, share her story, show up for her life, and she wants the ability to perceive that there's more and to be able to say yes when those opportunities arrive. So we need your help. We need you to take a back seat because now, Christy, well, you did your job and she's got it. She has it in spades. She wants to be brave. She wants to go bigger and expand her story of herself and what she's capable of. You did so great, and she's good now. She has herself. And now, Christy, now that you have lovingly sent Trauma Brain to the back seat, you can invite Wise Mind to join you up in the front. Remind yourself that Trauma Brain has you. Should your mom resurface or should your dad pop in with another request? But for now, you and your wise mind are free to daydream. When you talk about no longer playing small, what do you mean by that? What's the daydream? What do you want to be capable of? What sort of things do you wish you could do? What does not playing small look like to you? If you were already the woman you wanted to be and the life you wanted to have, what would you be doing differently right now? How would you be showing up differently? What kinds of opportunities are you hoping to see or to encounter? Remind yourself here that you know it's your habit to stay quiet, to pull back, to acquiesce, but that isn't how you want to move through the world anymore. So you're going to perceive the opportunities to show up. You're going to be aware of the situations where your tendency is to play small, and you are going to intentionally show up differently. And then you're going to give yourself permission to name the kinds of things you hope might come your way. And you're going to write them down in your journal so that when they come your way, you recognize them. In moments where you find yourself unsure or in some form of indecision, I want you to think about asking yourself, what decision do I need to make that will enable me to take up the space that I want to? At the end of the day, you'll review your day with yourself and you'll check in on the events, the interactions, and the decisions you made. And I want you to do a little bit of a gut check then too with yourself about where you might have played small. You hear me walk you guys through this process a lot because I think at the end of the day, check-ins like this about wherever it is you are or whatever it is you're working on, you can really set yourself up if you're doing this within 24 hours or less, because 24 hours or less after something has happened, it's so much easier to take that do-over rather than going on automatic pilot and finding that weeks have gone by. It's so much easier the day of to say, I should have said this, but I didn't. I'd like to go back now if that's okay. You always, always can take that do-over, Christy. By simply naming that you want to stop playing small, you're putting it out there. Those opportunities are going to find you the more you water that energy and the more you give attention to those desires, those dreams, and those daydreams. Now, Christy, you and I know we talked about this episode a bit beforehand, and one of the things that Christy had asked me about was finding your worth after narcissistic abuse. I was really grateful for her question because it allowed me to dig into something that I have been wanting to say on here for quite a while. So I'm going to take a second to reiterate what I had already said to her. If we just frame the question together right now, how do you go about finding your self-worth after narcissistic abuse? Now, traditional self-help advice talks to you about knowing your worth all the time. You hear about things like self-reflection, self-acceptance, self-forgiveness, and showing yourself grace. You'll be challenged to second-guess your negative self-talk. You'll be reminded to find activities that you enjoy and to surround yourself with people who bring out the best in you and not the fight in you. And let us never for a second forget the ever-present reminder to practice good self-care. And Lord knows, we need all of these phrases. You have heard me say them myself on the show. I really do believe in all of them, even if I just rolled my eyes while I said some of this. However, here's what I think is often missing from this conversation. Before you can do any of that from any place that's realistic, you first have to get really good at saying, I didn't deserve that. Abuse tarnishes your self-perception because you often think you must have in some way contributed to your own abuse. That's actually the habit we need to help you break more than anything. You didn't deserve the things that happened to you. You did not deserve a childhood filled with neglect. You did not deserve a childhood filled with fear, abuse, intimidation, or manipulation. And I want you to get in the driver's seat and start owning that disrespect out loud. I did not deserve that. I was innocent. I was doing my best. I was 6 years old. I was only 13. That was unfair. Here, we're talking about your mother's and your childhood because that's where it started for most of you listening. But let me tell you, anytime you are disrespected in the present day, it is an absolute game changer. If you take a minute before responding to just say to yourself, that was unfair and I didn't deserve it. I really believe we cannot own our own worth until we can unapologetically own what we deserve and clearly name what we don't deserve in equal measure. Now, back to you, Christy. I would be a little remiss here if I didn't also acknowledge for you what you shared at the end of your letter. And I'm sorry to know that just as you're starting to find yourself and step into yourself more, that your husband was handed such an intimidating diagnosis. It is so unbelievably unfair when life kicks us in the teeth like that. The best advice I can offer you is to ask for help, accept help, and recognize that medical crisis brings out the crazy. Your mom will likely become worse around something like this. She's simply too emotionally limited to manage anything real. But also, many of your friends might not know how to handle it either. People get uncomfortable about uncomfortable things. But here's what else I know. The most unexpected people can show up for you. When my husband was sick in 2015, most of my best friends were nowhere to be found. But a girl from the gym, she was the one who showed up. She checked in on me all the time. She brought a care package back from her travels, and she visited us at the hospital, even though she was relatively new to my life. And that was nearly 10 years ago, and I still think of that as one of the kindest things anyone has ever really done for me. So when kindness and grace comes from that unexpected source, say yes and say thank you. And when someone asks you what you need, I will admit to you, I find that one super annoying. Because in those moments when we're just overwhelmed, we just want people to show up and we don't want to have to think through the awkwardness of asking or wondering and worrying if we're asking too much. I gotta tell you, you're just gonna have to get over all of that and ask. My husband was sick from March till November of 2015. He was in the ICU more often than he wasn't. He had several surgeries. It was not good. He was in a residential rehab facility at the end, recovering from one of his surgeries because he needed more nursing care after the surgery than we could have done at home. I've done this a couple of times, and I'll tell you what I did. I asked for healthy food. I asked for a Starbucks gift card. I even asked someone to drop off toilet paper and toothpaste to my house because I was running out and I couldn't get my act together to get some for us. So you just have to let your people show up for you and then work on keeping your mom and her nonsense at bay. Christy, you gave us such a gift with this episode. Honestly, truly, my eyes are filling up as I talk to you. Thank you. Thank you for the privilege of letting this show become even more, of letting me grow and let this show become even more. Hearing your own story and your voice, and in your own words, lets my vision for this show become even more of a reality. You all know I cry. I'm just so proud of your bravery for showing up for yourself and putting your words into action. What a way you did showing up for yourself. I am profoundly moved, profoundly grateful, and really, really fucking proud of the conversations we're having together. Thank you so much for seeing what this show could be and for joining me in it. This is an episode I'm not going to forget anytime soon. You are a member of a community of women around the world who are in this with you. I most definitely am too. And Christy, we are all rooting for you and we cannot wait to hear what happens next. Bye for now. I'm so grateful that you're here. You're right where you're supposed to be. At its heart, I'm hoping to use this show to build a community of women working together to heal from childhoods marked by maternal narcissism and emotional neglect. My goal for Mother Mayhem is that this show becomes an advice and mentoring-driven show where you share your questions, struggles, and stories, and I offer you direction for healing and recovery. That can't happen without your contributions. I invite you to send a recorded voice memo or write in an email with your questions and things you're struggling with. You can always find me over at heather@daughtersnpd.com. To connect further, I invite you to find me over at Instagram and occasionally on TikTok at daughtersnpd. If you know another woman who needs this conversation in her life, I'm going to ask that you share the show with her. You can help me get the word out with your reviews and social shares of the show, and I hope you'll consider doing so. Special thanks to Heather Clark for editing this show. She's in my head and knows what I meant to say when the words come out backwards. Thanks for your time today. I'm always in it with you. Bye for now.